Everybody ready to start the spring semester 2020. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. The home run stretch. Amen. Amen. We're going to start off with a word of prayer, and we're going to get right into the word. Father, we just thank you right now, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for your son Jesus who died on the cross for our sins, Lord God. We thank you for the precious Holy Spirit that you sent to lead us and to guide us into all truth, Lord God. Hallelujah. We thank you for that comforter, Lord God. We thank you right now, Lord God, for apostolic government, which we fall under. And we thank you right now, Lord God, for our apostle, Lord God, who has been teaching us, Lord God, and bringing us into new territory as pioneers, Lord God. Hallelujah. And then, Lord God, we're taking territory for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. We're being better equipped, Lord God, to be a blessing, Lord God. Hallelujah. And to be used by you. And Father, I just thank you right now for the Holy Spirit showing up in this service, because if he don't show up, Lord God, I fall flat on my face. I lean completely and totally upon the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to be talking today on how to build honor. It's so very important when we start out in ministry that we learn how to build honor in our lives. A lot of ministers and people who endeavor to do ministry, they're so eager to go and to jump out there and to establish themselves instead of first building honor. It says here, in this teaching, we're going to look at the subject on how to build honor. Sometimes we have ministries and ministry leaders who disqualify themselves, and in doing so, they cripple themselves by not first building honor through and I'm kind of jumping the gun, through serving, through really seeking God and getting some clear direction on how to take those first steps, and that's so very important. And not knowing protocol, not knowing spiritual etiquette, you know, there's an etiquette, there's a protocol, and that's so very important. And what is known also as rules of engagement, when you're not only just doing ministry, but when you're pursuing the ministry, you know, seeking out God, you know, sowing into your man of God's life, you know, attending, you know, the meetings and just certain things that you need to do, and serving properly. So we're going to be looking into that. You are observing protocol when you honor the gifts in men and the ranks that God has placed in the body of Christ. This is giving honor to whom honor is due. I'm going to read that again. You are observing protocol when you honor the gifts that God has placed in men and the ranks that God has placed in the body of Christ. This is giving honor to whom honor is due. And that's so very important. It's vital that, you know, that you first seek out, Lord, you know, whom do you want me to serve under? Whom do you want me to sit under? Whom do you want me to glean from? Because all of your spiritual nourishment, everything you need, is going to come through your apostolic source, through your man of God, through your pastor, and by sitting and listening and learning and growing, that's how you now begin to develop honor through submitting yourself to the person that God has called you to be under. So often that there are people in ministry, they'll criticize or they'll say harsh things about ministries and ministers, and in doing so they cripple themselves and not recognize it. One of the things that I've said it last semester, you never want to put your mouth on a man of God. You know, and because you can't do it without being guiltless. You know, the Bible says don't put your mouth on a man of God. Don't speak negatively. Don't say anything that, you know, that doesn't glorify God. And I like something that Kenneth Hagin used to always say. He said, if I can't say nothing good about a person, I will not say nothing. I'll just keep quiet. And that's so very important that we understand that. All right. So we're going to look at about five or six steps on how to build honor. The first step we're going to look at is building honor through walking in wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing, and it's very important that we operate in godly wisdom in everything that we do. Proverbs 3 and 13 through 16 says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof of fine gold. She, wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared to her." Listen to verse 16. It says, "Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor." So, I mean, this class is called the Spirit of Honor. So in the right hand of wisdom is not only just riches, but it's also honor. And actually, the honor will always come before the riches, because you have to first walk in that honor, and then the riches are going to follow. It says, "Honor is in the hand of wisdom." If you want to build honor, you must walk in wisdom. And what I mean by wisdom is godly wisdom. Is seeking God in every turn, in every decision you make, hearing from God, and getting clear and precise direction on what's my next step, Lord God. What do you want me to do? And when you hear God's voice, it's so very important to instantly obey the voice of God. Don't procrastinate, don't wait on it, but you know, like Jesus, "I'm about my Father's business." Being about your Father's business, that's so very important. Let's move on. Pray for wisdom, and by praying for wisdom, you're beginning to develop and to build honor. I'm going to use an illustration. I remember a situation that happened, and I was watching it unfold, but I didn't know what was going on. A particular person was doing some things in the service, and it just puzzled me. And I'm saying, why is this person acting so sporadic? You know, and I was talking to two people, and they were coming in our direction, and then the person could just turn and then started talking to us. It just, on the inside, I didn't have a good feeling about what I saw. And my wife and I, we left, and we were, went home, and we changed, and we were going to eat. And I was talking to her. I said, you know, something happened, and I explained the situation. And I said, she said, well, just pray about it and ask God to give you some wisdom, some insight. And so we prayed really a little quick prayer. Lord, just thank you, Lord God, that you reveal and give me some direction. And, you know, if I need to do something or say something or what, you know, just. And then we was driving, going to La Madeline's to get something to eat. And maybe 5 minutes, probably not 5 minutes, my phone rang. And two of the people that was involved called me, and they began to explain. And the wisdom I need came from that phone call. You know, they said, this person did this, and this happened. And these were things that was against, when I say not against, things Apostle sternly said, this is not going to take place inside the church. You know, you're not going to promote your own business. You're not going to, no solicitation, nothing like that. You know, don't come to Word of Life and use my people, you know, for your own personal gain. And this was something that was happening, and we were able from just praying for wisdom. You know, getting the insight and that situation got rectified. You know, the individual in question, they were dealt with, and the parties who was involved that it happened to, you know, things were smooth over with them. But it was a matter of just getting wisdom, you know, not looking at things through your own natural eyes, but say, Lord, I David said, Lord, you've put so great a people, you know, that I'm over, Lord. You know, I don't know which way to go, but I'm seeking your guidance, you know. And by doing so, God granted his request, but he also blessed him with riches because of the fact that he was more concerned about being the proper person and doing it the God's way. And that's so very important. Let's move on about wisdom. In Proverbs 2. And I'm not going to read the whole second chapter of Proverbs, but it says in Proverbs 2, I'm going to just start reading a little bit. You can turn there in your Bible. It says, my son, if thou will receive my word and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding. Verse 4. If thou seek it, now this is very important. If thou seek it her as silver and search it for her as hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. In other words, you have to really, you know, in wisdom, you have to, Lord, I want this more than I want, you know, my pocketbook full. I want wisdom. Because you see, once you have the wisdom of God and know how to access it, you know, money and wealth and riches won't be no problem, because now you're tapping into God's wisdom. Because just like the illustration, in fact, me and my wife, we were praying a prayer today. We were believing God to eliminate you know, a few little bills, and we used the scripture that talked about how Jesus told them to go and to fish and put the rod in the water, and the first fish that come up, take the money out. So Lord said, you know where the money is. So we just thank you, Lord God, that the first fish or the first place you tell us to look is where it's gonna be, and it's gonna be a done deal, because you know you own a cattle on a thousand hills. You know the silver is and the gold all belongs to you. So Lord, all we need is just one particular area. You tell us where to go, what to do, and it's done. You know, that's operating and asking God for godly wisdom, and by doing so, you walk in honor. Because you're honoring God, you're putting him first, and that's so very important. Let me read a little bit more. Verse 6 says, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the path of judgment and preserves the way of his saints. You know, all of these things, verse 9, thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment. See, when you ask for wisdom, you're going to be able to understand what righteousness is all about. And you're going to be able to walk in judgment and equity, yea, and every good path. You know, wisdom will do that to you. It'll allow you to have access to so much of God. You know, verse 13 says, who leads the path. Now, this is talking about those who walk in unrighteousness. And I'm going to have to actually verse 12, go from verse 12. It says, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. When you're walking in wisdom, God will lead you away from forward and evil and perverse people. You know, sometimes one of the things I've learned to do, if I have a scratching in my spirit or an uneasiness about something, I'll pray about it. And Lord, you know, do I need to get involved with this venture or get involved with this person? And when, you know, and if the Lord, you know, if that uneasiness stays there, I know that's a sign to back away and to not get involved in something that I have no business doing. All right, let's move on. Proverbs 8, and this is one of my favorite verses of scriptures. When I was a kid, I used to read this all the time. This is Proverbs 8. It says, does not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth on the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She cried at the gates and enters of the city at the coming of the doors. Unto you, O man, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I speak of excellent things. Wisdom will always speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. You know, this is just talking about what all wisdom it can do for you. You know, I'm going to move down a little ways. Verse 11, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that thou desire cannot be compared to it or to her. I, wisdom, dwell with the prudent and find out knowledge of witty invention. Wisdom will give you witty inventions. You know, God will give you an invention or a way to do something that, you know, could propel you to the next level from a financial point of view. You know, wisdom. You know, God will give you that wisdom. Verse 13, and then I'll move on. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Okay? Because when you're walking in wisdom, you're walking in the fear of the Lord. And it says that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance. And we talked about those pride and arrogance last semester, how those are diametrically opposed to honor. And the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. And that's all attributes of wisdom. So the first way to build honor is to operate in wisdom, to operate in the wisdom of God. Because wisdom will bring you into honor and riches. Amen? Amen. All right, number two. The second way to begin to walk in honor is by walking in godly humility. The second way is to build honor is to walk in humility. Proverbs 15, verse 33 says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." So, you know, as you begin to walk in humility, you know, it's going to bring you into honor. Definition of honor. I'm sorry. Definition of humility. Humility is the sum total of the capacity of a person's soul to submit totally to the power of God, submitting your gift, your talent, and anointing totally to God. I'm going to read that again. Humility is the sum total of the capacity of a person's soul, you know, because it's not your spirit, because your spirit is perfect, but it's the sum total of a person's soul to submit totally to the power of God, submitting your gift, your talent, and your anointing totally to God. When you submit yourself to God, you're allowing God now to use you as he will. And you know, to me, Moses is one of the best examples of a person walking in humility. The Bible says Moses was the meekest man upon the face of the earth. But yet in all, Moses, when he heard God and when God called him aside and he went and saw the burning bush and God told him, "I'm going to use you to set my people free." You know, Moses, even though he couldn't see himself doing it, he submitted to God and he did what God told him to do. And when you begin to walk in godly humility like that, you know, recognizing it's not your ability, it's not your power, even though you might, you know, even say, "Look, I'm not an elegant speaker. I can't go before Pharaoh." So I'm going to have Aaron go. He's going to go with you. He's going to be your mouthpiece. But you do what I tell you to do. And he gave him the staff, you know, and by obeying God, Moses walked in godly humility, and by doing so, he led the children of Israel out of Egypt, you know. But then something apostle said, you know, in the last class, you know, even he got a little hot. And when he got hot, God told him to do, you know, to speak to the rock. He didn't speak to it. He kicked it. And that caused him not to walk into the promised land. Even though Aaron, you know, and those, there was a whole generation of people that died off, but Aaron was one of those who walked into the promised land. But humility will keep you. I'm not humility, but that arrogantness, pride, and envy will keep you from walking in the promises of God. But when you walk in humility, you can't help but walk in God's blessing. Your soul, your gifting, your talent, totally submitted to God. Humility helps you to submit to what God has called you to do and who he has called you to serve under. And that's so very important. That the sum total of humility is your spirit, soul, and body, and whatever gifts and talent you have, submitting that to God. Humility is when God owns you. In other words, you know, you, Lord, you know, not my will, but thy will be done. It's not about me, but it's about me serving you and giving you 100% of who I am. You know, less of me and more of you, and then to the point where none of me and all of you. You know, and you humbly walk in that humility. And by walking in that humility, you can't help but display honor. When you submit and walk, when you submit or walk in humility, you walk or in submission or alignment. You're aligning yourself under a mission. You know, look at the word submission. Sub is the prefix meaning under. You know, submarine means it goes under the water. So when you sub, you go under the mission of somebody else. In other words, you're serving somebody else. You know, so when you submit, you're serving under the mission or the vision of somebody else, and you're giving your all to it, and you're walking, doing that in total humility, and that's so very important. A person's power must be seen in their humility. When you walk, when you are weak or limited in your own strength, you become strong in Christ. And because what you're doing now, you're taking up his strength. It's not your ability anymore, it's his ability. You know, you're just a vessel that his power and his ability flow through. And that's so very important. You know, it almost seems a time like your inadequacies and your weaknesses, when you give that over to God in total submission, well, then now he's going to transform that into strength, and it's going to be his strength because he's empowering you to carry out the mission that God's called you to do. Yeah. I remember years ago when an apostle called me into prison ministry. I remember walking out the door, and you probably heard the story. I actually had to lean up against the wall because I thought I was going to fall. Because I'm saying, Lord, I can't do this. You know, I don't know nothing about going into the prison, you know. But all of a sudden, on the inside, something rose up on me. If my man of God thinks enough of me to call me to do this, well, then, God, you're going to have to give me the strength to do it, you know. And you know, that's been 28 years ago. But it's you submitting to the will. And submitting yourself, and that's so very important. By doing that, then you're now able to take on an assignment that's bigger, you know, because what God wants us to do is going to always be bigger than what we can do in our own strength, you know, and that's because he wants us to rely completely and totally upon him and recognizing that our strength comes from him, you know, everything that we are is because of who he is and what Jesus has already done for us. All we got to do is recognize, hey, that if I center myself in him and allow him to infuse me with strength, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So it's not I that live it, but it's Christ that's living on the inside of me. And that's so very important. You know, never see yourself in your own limited ability, you know. See yourself through the limitedness of Christ, you know, and that he's living on the inside of you. All right, let me move on. You must keep your integrity and your anointing intact is to walk in the spirit of humility around all people. The more God uses you, the more humility you have to walk in. You know, the more you see yourself moving from one level to the next, the more humble you have to be, you know, because you don't want to make a misstep or say something out of turn, you know, that would hinder your progress. Because listen to this, because if you walk in any other spirit than the spirit of humility, you give legitimacy to the individual or the person that might be attacking you or somebody who might have said something to you, and God cannot fight on your behalf because now you got to fight the battle because, you know, you're taking it upon yourself and not walking in the humility of Christ. You know, so it's so very important to walk in humility, you know, and not let pride or arrogance or self rise up to the surface. Always walk and stay in the spirit of humility. Amen. All right. Number three, walking in the spirit of integrity and being upright in conduct. And that's the third aspect of building honor. Walking in the spirit of integrity and being upright in conduct. Integrity is the quality of being honest, having a good moral behavior and good moral principles and values, virtues of honesty and uprightness. Proverbs 26 and 1, the spirit of integrity. This proverb says, as the snow in summer, as the rain in harvest, so honor is not seemingly for a fool. Proverbs 26 and 1, as the snow in summer, as the rain in harvest, so honor is not seemingly for a fool. In other words, foolishness and honor don't run together. You know, a fool cannot walk in honor. A fool cannot walk in integrity. In other words, foolishness and honor don't run together. The word foolishness here has to do with one's inability to walk in the spirit of honor. In other words, wise individuals know how to conduct themselves. So the third way to build honor is by building up an upright conduct. Always, you know, in everything you do, walk in integrity, walk in uprightness, walk in moral, and Apostle was talking about that, you know, earlier in his class, you know, not being a whoremonger, not being a liar, not being a backbiter, you know, walking in a pure, you know, we're all going to make mistakes. But one of the things I've learned is immediately go to God and say, Lord, I repent, and get back in fellowship with him and continue to walk in that spirit of moral upright and conduct. Because God, you know, wants us to, he said, be ye holy as I am holy. Yes. And there's no way, you know, for God to use you, because he's not going to use an impure vessel. You know what I mean by that? Somebody who continually practices sin, somebody who continually, you know, are always just looking out for themselves and not walking in upright and purity. But he's looking for those who have a humble, meek spirit, and those who have an integrity and upright conduct. Because one of the things I've learned, people are always watching you. They're watching. You know, especially if you're a leader, they're always looking to, sometimes they're looking to see when you're going and how you're going to make a mistake so that they can, you know, look, so-and-so did this or did that, you know. And one thing the Lord says, he told me years ago, he says, you know, treat everybody the same. Don't show no favoritisms. Love them, you know, love everybody with the same love of God, you know. And if you say something to one person, you can say it to another. Don't starve your words because of certain situations. You know, if I said it in front of you, I can say it in front of you and the other person. You know, and by doing so, that helps keep your integrity intact, and you won't be caught in a trap. Well, didn't you say such and such? Well, yeah, you know, but stay consistent. That's so very important. And when I Apostle talked a lot about this, so we're not going to even get into it about the impurities and the sex sins. No, don't walk in idolatry or covetousness. We, you know, that those things go without saying, but that will keep you out of integrity and keep you in an area where you're not walking and serving God like you should. Okay, let's go to number four. The fourth way to build honor, and to me, this is one of the critical ones, is serving. Serving is the fourth way to produce and build honor in your life. Proverbs 27:17 through 18 says, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. Whosoever keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waited on his master shall be honored. You know, and that last aspect of it. So he that waited on his master. That word waiting does not mean just sitting around waiting for something to happen or waiting on an assignment to be given to you. That waiting means to serve. Service, you know. And that's something I think everybody in the body of Christ could learn more of a lesson to. The more you serve your man of God, the more you find ways to serve, the more you're going to see yourself walking in honor. Because by serving, you're getting back to what the scripture says, you're being faithful in another man's ministry. And after a while, it gets to the point, you know, how can I say this? Even though I've been a member here for 30 years, I think my wife and I were on our 30th year this year. And you know, when I first got to Word of Life, it was like, well, you know, a pastor, you know, apostle, you know, this is his ministry. But I look at it, I have a part, just like Judas had a part in a lot in Jesus' ministry. You know, I have a part in this ministry. I see myself as a vital, integral part of Ever Increasing Word Training Center, of Word of Life Christian Center, of LTMA. I see myself as a vital, integral part, not just a member. You know, I see myself, you know, as a partner in apostolic covenant with my man of God. And when you see it like that, you take the ownership, even though it's not your vision, but it becomes your vision because you know, when I first learned how to swim, one of the hardest things for me to do was to jump in the deep end of the water. Because you don't know if you, it's just that fear of, you know, my feet ain't gonna touch the bottom. And I'm gonna have to start pedaling, dog paddling, and do something else, I'm gonna hit the bottom. You know, so, you know, when you dive into the ministry God has called you to, you're now immersed into it. And so it's either sink or swim. You know, you have no option. And you need to see in service that I'm in this. And everything I do, for instance, if you work camera, you know, I'm helping to put out a product that's going all over the world. You know, my camera movements have to be steady, you know, it gotta be in focus because I wanna present my man of God in the best light possible. You know, when you get that attitude, now you begin to operate in a spirit of excellence. You know, if you're a greeter, you want to greet people and make them feel welcome. See, that'll promote and produce honor in your life, because God, you know, one thing about God sees everything we do, and he always rewards us based upon our heart effort. You know, what's in your heart. You know, and that's so very important. So let me move on. So the way to build honor is serving. Serving produces honor. Serving produces honor. Elijah, you will reap the seed of honor. Just like Joshua, if you will serve Moses, you're going to reap the benefits of honor. The Lord told Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I'm going to also be with you. You know, only do what I have instructed Moses. Not what I'm instructing you, but what I instruct Moses. Because one of the things, you know, I'll never forget, when we first started going out in prison ministry, we didn't have any outlines or anything. And it would have been easy for me to start looking in the Word and finding my own lesson. And you know, and this is originally from me. God gave me this revelation. But the Lord said, whatever the man of God teach is what you teach. And we've been doing that for 30 years. You know, if we're teaching on the soul and the training of the soul, every 35 or 40 members in prison ministry teaching the same thing. You know, see, that gives honor because he has a heaven to earth connection. God has given him some manna from heaven, and he's given it to us. And now we got to give it to the people. You know, I tell them all the time, it's not about you, but it's about you fulfilling the will of God for your life, serving your man of God properly. And by doing so, you produce honor in your life. You know, because it's getting God's agenda and knowing God's agenda and fulfilling God's agenda by being submitted in that area. Amen. The scripture says iron sharpens iron. In other words, metals that are compatible to each other complement each other when they work together and they function together. Mixing together metals causes, you know, if you take certain types of metal, copper, which is not as a strong metal, but then aluminum is stronger, then iron ore is even stronger. And when you mix them together, you create now a compound that's stronger than any one of the three elements separate, you know. And that's why it says iron will sharpen iron. You know, when you're around people who are sharp spiritually and you begin to rub what's on them, begin to rub off on you by sharpening you, it'll make you better. It'll make you more. You know, Apostle challenges us day in and day out, you know, because he wants us not only just to be where he is, but to experience God in a greater measure. And by coming and letting him sharpen us, you know, you can, the world and everyday life can cause you to get a little dull, you know. But when you come and you hear the word, you get sharpened. You know, it fortifies you. It you know, just like praying the Holy Spirit, you know, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, it builds you up. You know, when you hear the word is able to build us up. You know, and when you serve. And serve properly by your service, you know, it'll help you to walk in honor.
All right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right, let's move on. Who keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, so he that waited or serves his master shall be honored. You know, by serving, by finding something to do to help support the vision will cause you now to walk in complete submission, like we talked about earlier, humility, and you're serving properly, and you can't help but be honored. You can't help but, you know, in the military, people who leave, it's called absence without leave. In other words, you're supposed to be at your post, but you didn't went downtown or went somewhere. You know, you went what is called AWOL. We have too many Christians and too many good people who just go AWOL. You don't know what at. You know, they get off their post. You know, I always tell people that, you know, when I'm sitting out, I'm looking around, and I know there's certain ushers that's in certain spots and certain people that do certain things in the ministry of helps. And when I don't see somebody at their post, it grieves me because, you know, I always tell certain ushers, certain people, nobody can do what you do the way you do it. You know, I mean, you when I come in and I see you here, it's a blessing to me because I know you're serving God, and I know there's a benefit and there's a blessing for doing that. You know, and when I see you out of position, you know, that's almost like leaving money at the table. You know, well, you know, God wants to bless you. You know, stay in your position. Don't leave. Don't go. You know, it hurts. It hurts. Okay, the fifth, I got a minute and 36 seconds. The fifth way to build honor is obedience. Obedience and submission, the fifth way to build honor. 1 Peter 3, 6 and 7. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter are ye, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to your wife as the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So he says, Sarah obeyed Abraham. She honored Abraham. Likewise, husbands, honor your wives. I want to make sure I get to this point. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Okay, you know, that's scripture in 1 Samuel 15. But submission is better than obedience. Because even in obedience, that there could still be some self involved. I'm obey in action, but my heart may not be in it. But when you're submitted, your total being is involved. When you submit, You know, the Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice, but submission is even better. You know, not that obedience is not good, you know, but when you submit properly, you can't help but walk in honor by total, complete submission. So the way to build honor is to submit and be obedient. Mary said to the servant in John 2, whatsoever he says to you, do it. Amen. Thank you. And my wife is giving me the zero sign to shut up. Amen. Thank God for a good helpmate.